Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Sports Best podcast. I'm Trey Gonzalez, and I'm here with a very special guest, a pitcher for the Elizabethton Twins. That's the tongue twister I got through, so we're good on that. And he was drafted to the Minnesota Twins organization. His name is Austin Schulfer. How you doing today, Austin?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Getting through that name of the team that you play on or the city that it's in was a little bit difficult for me. You said that you had a little bit of time to adjust for that too. Is that true?
Yeah. So when I got here, people are obviously very, very proud for where you come from. And I was corrected a few times on that, but we got the name down and now we're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got you there. I wanted to start off with where you grew up. You grew up in Wisconsin. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up and what it was like being a kid there?
Yeah, so I grew up in a pretty, like, close community, a lot of family there. Basically, all my family lives in, 15-20 mile radius of where I grew up. And, growing up in a neighborhood where I had a lot of friends and we were all the same age, we lived, next to a park and stuff. I was always a kid who was outside, running around, doing crazy stuff, playing sports all the time. There wasn't a day in the summer where I was inside for longer than a few hours.
I got you. Okay, so you're always used to being outside and stuff like that, which obviously comes in handy with your sport. When was it that you decided that you really wanted to pursue baseball?
So I was always a three-sport athlete growing up. I kind of ditched out of the basketball after, I'd say, my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
I made the decision. I was like, I like basketball, but I'm just really not that good at it. And in our case, our high school was extremely good at basketball. And I knew, I'd have to put a lot of time into it. And I didn't really see, any growth in that. And I still had football and baseball. And, obviously a personal life. So I decided I was just going to get out of basketball. And, during my sophomore year, or right before my sophomore year, I was always, like, a good baseball player, but not really, anything where I would go to a Division I college or,
right,
go professional or anything like that. So I've been working with one of my coaches for a really long time. His name is Corey Opper, and my dad, obviously, was there all the time. And we would go to, actually, in the wintertime. So in Wisconsin, it's tough, obviously, to find places where you're going to throw and do baseball-related things. So
yeah.
What we did is we'd rent out, a couple nights a week, we'd rent out little, elementary school gyms, okay?
Really?
Yeah, and we would take T-balls, like the squishy T-balls, and we would actually practice pitching, throwing into a wall. That's how we practiced for a while, like for 2-3 years in high school. So, I'd been working with him a little bit, and, my velocity was right around 78, 80, going into the sophomore year. That's nothing really too special, just kind of average-ish.
Right.
On, the world of baseball scale. So, we'd been working for a while, and all of a sudden we changed some things in my mechanics. And all of a sudden, in 2 or 3 weeks, I was throwing 88, 90, which,
really,
as a 16-year-old, that's something that you can write home about.
No
so,
kidding.
It was kind of like a, whoa, what just happened kind of thing.
Dang.
But, yeah, it was – that's when I kind of decided and during my sophomore year, I broke my collarbone playing football. So I was like, okay – I kind of have a future with this baseball thing right now, the way things are going. So I was like, okay, I think after, hurting my collarbone and being football the sport that it is, I was like, all right, I got to give that up and, focus on baseball a little bit more.
Yeah, no kidding. No, and it makes a whole lot of sense, too. When you made these decisions, like stopping basketball, stopping football, did you come out like LeBron did when he was going to Miami? Did you hold a TV special for it?
No, I wish I was that good to do that. But no, it was kind of like, hey, coach, I'm not playing basketball this year. And I said, okay.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell me a little bit about your high school success? I know that you were able to help push your team to championships, and you were able to collect some awards yourself. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so in high school, I was very blessed to have, you know, good coaches. And our community was very baseball driven. So it was, obviously, there was always those factors going into, you know, being a successful baseball player and a successful team. So we had a few guys who also went and played college and stuff. And we were a pretty close-knit group, I would say. We had 12 seniors, I believe, 13, 12 seniors. And, you know, that's a lot for a high school team. And yeah, we'd all been playing together since we were 11 years old. I mean, that really goes into, like, all the team success we had.
Mm-hmm.
But personal success, it was just, you know, having, you know, a collegiate level, below pro level fastball, you know, in a smaller region for high school baseball. It made things pretty easy for me. But I also had ups and downs where I had to work through it. And I was lucky enough, you know, obviously to, you know, get those awards and have all those things.
I like the way that you said that. That it was almost easy for you. I played with a couple of guys that had said that. For me, not so much. But they would say that they would go into games when they'd pitch, and they knew, give or take, kind of what to expect from the other team. So they'd just kind of take a lot off their fastball and then pump it up late. Or they would, you know, pitch backwards or whatever it was that they just kind of wanted to work on. Was that kind of something you did? Did you do things to kind of just work on your pitching as a whole in the middle of games?
Yeah, so in high school, I really didn't do that as much because at that time, mentally, my mental baseball game really wasn't where, obviously, it is now. So in college and stuff, I obviously did that a little bit more, depending on, you know, what my stuff was like that day.
Mm-hmm.
But in high school, obviously, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have spent more time, you know, working on my craft instead of, you know, trying to blow 90 by guys all the time.
Right.
Because little did I know, that doesn't really work when you get to college. And obviously professional levels, you need to have, you know, off-speed pitches and be able to locate stuff. But, yeah, I wish I would have done that more. But unfortunately, I didn't really do too much of that.
Yeah. Well, what went into your decision to attend and play baseball at the University of Wisconsin-Miami?
Yeah, so When I decided to go to Milwaukee, I was, you know, I had a few college offers, and I knew that, you know, having a big family at home and my girlfriend Elizabeth trying to come with me wherever I was going, it was one of those things where Milwaukee is a bigger city. I didn't really know anything about it. I ended up loving it, but we'll get into that a little bit, but I just decided that I liked the coaches, I liked the atmosphere there. One, I knew I was going to play a lot.
Yeah.
You know, being a mid-major, you know, I'd get a chance to play. Sometimes you go to those bigger schools, you just get drowned out by other guys,
mm-hmm.
You end up having to transfer and do all that stuff, and I didn't want to do that. So, I'm trying to think of some other things here.
You got the chance to choose a Division I college. So what kind of perks came with that? What were some of the things that when you got there, you were like, oh, sweet, I got something free, or some of the traveling perks you had?
Yeah, so, I mean, the traveling, you know, going somewhere every spring, you know, a few times, you know, it took me to places I'd never been before, you know, to play baseball at least. Like Arizona, we went to Florida, Texas, you know, Alabama, Arkansas,
wow,
you know, all those places that I probably wouldn't have went to, you know, when I was that young or had the chance to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go there and play baseball, and I had a lot of cool experiences, like playing SEC schools. My freshman year, we went into Missouri and swept them.
Wow.
In a three-game series. Yeah, it was, and that was cool to me from being, you know, I feel like Wisconsin is always an underrated baseball state for guys.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously UW-Milwaukee playing Missouri, you think Missouri's going to win 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
But we had a really good team that year. I think we won almost 40 games, and those were kind of some of the deciding factors going into, you know, picking a mid-major school over, you know, going to Oregon in the Pac-12 and,
yeah,
you know, all those other schools. That was kind of what made me decide is, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. I kind of want to represent, you know, what Wisconsin baseball is all about.
Yeah. You had success at the college level, quite a bit of it too. And I wanted to know how you continue to grow and improve throughout the years and not become stagnant to where you thought, you know what, I'm going to kind of stick to what I do. You continue to improve and get better.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, those college years are big, you know, big for maturity and not just physically, but mentally. And I had a lot of success my freshman year, you know, working with the coaches and just playing baseball more. You know, obviously, if you do it more, you're going to get better at it.
Right.
And, you know, they're really smart guys, you know, in Milwaukee and know baseball. But what was really allowed me to grow was just having to figure stuff out by myself sometimes where, you know, you can always go ask a coach. You can always go ask, but sometimes, no matter how good the coach is, you're not really going to get an answer that works for you.
Right.
And you're not going to really understand it. So, playing in summer ball and stuff, like in the Northwoods League in Eau Claire, they kind of just let you figure it out on your own, which is really big for, you know, guys of that age and that maturity level to be like, okay, well, nobody's going to come out here and save me, so I got to figure it out. And
yeah,
that's kind of a situation where guys either sink or swim. And it's not really necessarily a bad thing to sink at that point. Because I'm trying to think of, you know, like how to describe it to somebody where it's one of those things where failing is almost a good thing at that point.
You learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. So basically what, you know, I would do is, you know, after my freshman year, I had a so-so summer where, you know, I'm playing against the best college guys, you know, basically other than the Cape Cod League. So it was one of those things where I thought I was really good, but in the baseball world, I was okay, which is a big learning experience in itself to know, like, hey, I'm really not that good. I got to get back to work.
Right, exactly.
So I started getting draft attention and stuff after my freshman year. And I was a smaller frame guy, which I still am a little bit now, but obviously I put on weight and grew an inch or two. But at that point, you know, I thought I was on top of the world. I was getting draft experience and, you know, people are watching me and I'm showing up on lists and stuff. And then, you know, to go to the Northwoods League and, my sophomore year, I actually had my worst baseball season of my life. Which was also a big learning experience in itself. And, it sucked at the time. You know, you go from on top of the world to having like a 7 ERA.
Yeah. What team did you play for in the Northwoods?
I played for the Eau Claire Express.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. But, you know, those were kind of the things that made me mature. And I think every person, every baseball player has this point in his career where it's either, you know, do you want it or do you just want to be okay and chance it? But my girlfriend kind of came up to me one day and she was like, what's going on? And I was like, well, you know, I suck. You know, like I'm not very good right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of looked at me and said, well, nobody's going to help. Nobody can go out there and do it for you. She's like, do you want it or do you not want it? She's like, if you want it, you know, you're going to have people behind you. And if you don't want it, well, that's your own choice and you have to live with it. So that was kind of my, like, okay moment where I was like, well, I really do want this. I really want to be a professional baseball player. And I had kind of made excuses for myself the whole year and, you know, was putting the blame on, you know, elsewhere. And it was one of those things where that was like my maturity moment, right, in baseball at least, where I was like, okay, if I'm not going to work hard, I'm not going to get there, no matter how talented you are. And it was kind of like the turning point in my career, basically.
I can't stress it enough. Baseball is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, most mentally involved game that there is.
Yeah, 100%. If you're not mentally strong, it doesn't matter if you can throw 100 miles an hour. You're not going to make it to the big leagues. And I can't stress that enough, talking to younger people or people who are struggling with baseball in college right now, who maybe, you know, you're younger than I am or the same age, where, you know, if you're not mentally strong, it doesn't matter how good your physical tools are. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be mentally strong in order for those physical tools to even show themselves, really.
Your mentality showed that you were tough enough to get through playing with a Division I college, to be successful, to be able to get drafted. I got to ask a couple questions on the in-between, though. What was the best field you were ever able to play at?
I would probably say, so in Milwaukee, we got really lucky. We were able to play at Miller Park every year. And my junior and this last, my senior year, I was able to pitch at Miller Park. I was able to start there. And, I mean, I can't even describe how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to a major league field and you look at it from the stands and you see, like, wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then you go on the field and it literally looks like somebody took scissors and cut the grass. I mean, it's perfect.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. And another thing that I wanted to ask you was, who had the most electric fans?
My sophomore year, I was our Friday night starter, so I was the number one guy coming out of the year. And we played Texas Tech in Texas Tech, and it was electric. I mean, there was 5,000 to 7,000 people there, and they're all screaming at you at the same time. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, as a young kid, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, where am I at right now?
Right.
But that's another part of maturing, is you're going to be in those stages eventually if you want your career to progress. So at the time I was like, you know, wheels are running in the head, and you know, I can't really calm myself down. But you know, as I got older, I was able to just take a deep breath and just go, like, okay, I'm fine. Like, I'm in my own element. Like, I'm in the zone now. It's just like it's me in the glove, basically.
Wow. Yeah. So doing something like that actually helped you for the next level, obviously. And since you are at the next level, I got to know, when you got drafted in the 19th round by the Twins, what was the experience like? What did it feel like?
Yeah, so I had been waiting. I had heard things that I was going to go on the second day of the draft, which is rounds 3 through 10. And my dad and my girlfriend were there watching, because I had just recently moved down to Jacksonville from Milwaukee. You know, we were just watching, and nothing was happening, and nothing was happening, and nothing was happening, and then day two was over.
Wow.
I was like, okay, well, you know, let's see what happens on day three. And I had gotten a few calls saying, you know, like, you're the number one guy, like, on our board, you know, going forward. Mm. And then it was round 11, round 12, round 13, round 14, round 15, round 16. And then I was like, okay, like, at that point, I was pretty mentally exhausted, just waiting. You know, getting calls from people saying, like, we're going to take you. And then, like, you know, it's not guaranteed. And then it's between you and another guy, and they take the other guy.
Right.
And, you know, being drafted in the 19th round is obviously a very, very special thing. But for me, I was obviously very excited, and that it actually happened. I was going to be a professional baseball player. But it kind of gave me that chip on my shoulder, you know, looking at a guy and being like, you know, why did he get picked here and I didn't get picked there?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously those organizations saw something in them that they didn't see in me. So I had to kind of take a self-reflection and be like, you know, how can I be, you know, my next goal was, how can I be on a top prospect list? How can I make the organizational prospect list? Like, how can I get better? What do they need to see? And stuff like that.
Wow. So what teams were contacting you throughout that draft when they were saying that they were going to take you and they were going to put you at the top of their leaderboard?
There was quite a few teams, and it would probably last too long for me to list them off. I mean, but basically that's how the draft works is, you hear from scouts and they're in a scouting room where they basically are fighting for their own guys because they're divvied up by region.
Right.
So they're fighting for their own guys and obviously the head honchos make the decision at the end, but, for whatever reason, I was in the 19th round and other guys weren't. And that's basically how the draft process works is they tell you, you could get taken here, but it's not guaranteed because there's other guys. So it's just kind of like a be ready, like be by your phone kind of thing.
So you get drafted, you go into short season, you get to experience the minor leagues. You've experienced the minor leagues for how long? About a month and a half?
Yeah, I'd say probably like a month and a half.
So what have you liked so far about the minor league experience?
It's definitely different than any baseball experience I've had. It's your job. It's you show up to the field, at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you get your work in, and then, they bring in food for us to eat and make sure, we're eating right and they have your snacks and all this stuff. Like, it's a full-time job of baseball where, there's nothing that you think about other than, when you're at the field, there's nothing that you think about other than baseball. And they make it that way because you're always busy where, you're hitting, shaking batting practice and then you go through your throwing routine and, then you have your workout at the field. And it's cool just to do, just baseball.
I got to know if this is fact or fiction. If a pitcher goes to try to maybe hit some balls in the batting cages or just tries to practice on hitting, they get fined. Is that correct?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I haven't touched a bat since I've been here, and I don't think any of the other pitchers have either. especially, being in the minor leagues, we don't hit when most of us didn't hit in college either. So it would be not a pretty sight if we hopped into the batting cage, but I would assume that somebody would probably get fined if they hit step foot in the batter's box or, in the batting cage if they weren't a hitter.
What has been the biggest grind of the minor leagues so far?
I think the biggest grind is probably the travel a little bit. Obviously, playing every single day is something that a lot of people aren't used to, and it takes a lot out of you if you're, our games are at 6, 7 o'clock. Sometimes they're 3, 4 hours long, and then we got to travel an hour back home, and then you got to wake up and do the same thing over and over again. And I think that's the biggest grind. It's just like getting your mentality right where, you're focused every single day.
Right. No, I can completely understand that. What kind of prep do you use before an appearance? I know that a lot of pitchers have their own ways, their unique preparations. Do you use bands, weighted balls, anything like that to get started?
Yeah, so usually before I'll throw like a few weighted balls, I'll do a band routine, I'll do a stretch routine, and I do everything the same every single time. Even when I throw on the mound before the game, I'll throw 16 pitches out of the windup, 16 pitches out of the stretch, no more, no less, just so that I'm doing the same thing over and over again.
Ah, okay.
That's just to get you comfortable. Every time you throw 32 pitches, you're like, okay, I'm good to go. Instead of, sitting there forever overthrowing, underthrowing, it kind of gives you that balance of, knowing you're ready to go mentally as well as physically.
Okay. Totally understand. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you extremely long toss ever, like in practice or anything like that?
Usually I'll do a long toss like the second day or third day after I pitch because that's the day I'll throw a bullpen. And that's usually the only day I'll stretch it out like extremely long. But usually I'll throw, 100 to 120 feet every single day.
Okay. What has been the biggest thing you've learned since being a pro ball player?
I think it's the ability to ask questions and not feel dumb in like a professional standpoint. The coaches here are, and everywhere you go, are there to help you. And you know, being a professional, you kind of have that, like, you know, a big head right away where you think you know everything because you're a professional baseball player. But, you know, in reality, we're at the pretty low on the totem pole still. But that was the biggest thing that I've learned is, you know, those guys want you to ask questions, and it's almost a positive when you ask them questions.
I was wondering if when you make it to the big leagues, and we talked about this before, it's not if, it's a when. When you make it to the big leagues and you're pitching for the Minnesota Twins, would you be open to a bullpen position?
Yeah, honestly, at that point, the organization would have a good idea of what they want, you know, from that guy. And obviously, you can go back and forth either way. But I would be obviously okay. You know, anytime somebody says, hey, you want to play in the big leagues, you're going to say yes 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
So, I mean, either way would work for me.
Okay. And I wanted to get a little bit into your personal life, and we're not going to get crazy invasive, but I wanted to know about some of the hobbies you have that you are able to maybe do to kind of take up some time when you're not playing baseball, when you're away from the field.
Yeah. So, obviously, I have a girlfriend that we've been together for a little over 6 years, you know, from high school. So, you know, a lot of time that I spend off of baseball is obviously with her. You know, we're living down in Jacksonville now. But, you know, a big thing we do, obviously, we like to travel. You know, we like to try new restaurants in, you know, whatever area we're in, you know, experience those kind of things. And we just got a dog last year, a little golden retriever puppy.
Nice.
So a lot of our time is, you know, spent with him and, you know, going to, since we just moved down to Jacksonville, we always go to the beach and we go for walks and, you know, we're obviously outdoor people. We like to do that kind of stuff. So those are kind of the things that take up a lot of time.
Okay, sweet. And you know, what's funny is that, and I said we were going to get a little bit away from baseball, but I was going to ask you about bullpen games. When I played college ball and summer ball, bullpen games were a big part of it. We would, you know, do mind games and stuff like that. Did you guys ever do anything like that?
Oh, yeah, of course. And even in the dugout, sometimes, you know, in between innings, we'll play a little game or two. Just, you know, it's a long season, and obviously, you know, you're going to get distracted a little bit. But, you know, we try to keep it in between innings and stuff where, you know, we play some games sometimes. We'll set up a cup and try to throw rocks in it, even, like, you know, anything sometimes to pass the time.
What is some of the bullpen games that you guys participate in?
So sometimes we play bocce ball with, like, baseballs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then obviously we try to, like, throw rocks or seeds into a cup, and we play games like Password where you try to guess, you know, people's names and stuff based on one word, you know, clues and guesses.
Yes, okay, so I've definitely heard of these games. That's pretty cool. Is there anything you have to do differently as a rookie? Is there anything like maybe carry around a bag with candy in it? Or did you have to, you know, pick up or take the bucket or something like that? Is that something that you have to ever do?
Not right now. I'm sure once you get to the big leagues, that's probably something that you'll have to do. As a lot of us have seen on, you know, whatever, YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But right now we're all kind of in the same boat, so... Fortunately, no, I haven't had to carry around a pink princess backpack or anything.
Yeah, okay, well, hopefully we get to that point, right? I mean, that's almost
a
privilege.
Yeah, I hope I'm carrying that around someday.
What was the first purchase you made after you signed?
Honestly, I think it was a pair of, like, cheap headphones. I was at the airport, and I was like, oh, no, I forgot my headphones. So, obviously, I bought the cheapest pair in the airport, because, you know, headphones are headphones to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could get, you know, another pair for cheaper somewhere else. But that was actually the first purchase I made was a little, you know, $9 headphone, whatever.
You're going to have to get those in a glass case and hang them up somewhere.
Yeah, I might have to.
What was your favorite team growing up? Were you a Brewers fan?
I was actually a Cubs fan. My dad was a Cubs fan, and one of my aunts is a Cubs fan, and they were always on TV, my dad said, when he would come home from school. So, against the norm, we were Cubs fans in Wisconsin.
Wow. I would have never guessed that. But the Cubs are a big-time organization, Chicago and stuff, so you must have been ecstatic when you got to see them win for the first time in almost forever?
Yeah, it was really cool to see. Obviously, that's just a piece of baseball history. You know, no matter what kind of fan you are, you know, everybody had known about the curse and, you know, the championship drought and stuff. So regardless of who you were cheering for, I think it was cool. Even, you know, Indians fans, obviously they probably would have liked to win, but, you know, it was still cool regardless.
Did the Cubs ever contact you about possibly drafting you?
Yeah, so they were one of the teams that contacted me, and they were in the mix with all of it too.
Oh, very cool. That's pretty sweet. You are currently an ambassador for Detached Company. How did that happen, and what is the coolest part about it?
So I was just kind of browsing through Instagram, you know, trying to find brands to reach out to, you know, be a sponsor or an ambassador for, and brands that I really liked and their message. And I came across Detached Co. and I was like, okay, you know, kind of, they only had a few followers, and I was like, I wonder if this is new. So I messaged the, you know, the Instagram page, and I said, hey, you know, like, I'd really like to, you know, represent your brand. Let me know what you think. And funny thing is it was only the second day that it was actually out, you know, on Instagram. So kind of crazy that I came across it. Mm. And I'm glad I messaged them, because the owner, Art Hernandez, a super, super great guy, you know, very, very business driven. He's actually only 21 or 22 right now. So I kind of like the message that it had, you know, detaching from the normal and, you know, doing your own thing to be successful, which I kind of liked. You know, in my own career, I think I've done that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's pretty sweet. And to be able to get gear and stuff like that is also a nice little perk too. Have you been able to get anything free as a minor leaguer yet?
Yeah, so basically the relationship that Art and I have, and that I've had with a few other companies, is that, you know, I try out their gear, I test their gear out for them, I give them feedback on it, and, you know, I do, you know, like a few Instagram posts, or I just wear it around town, and, you know, that's basically in exchange for a t-shirt or a hat or something like that.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty sweet. So I've got to, we got to get into rapid fire, man. I need to hear some of your favorites, some of the things that you really like. Are you ready for rapid fire?
Yes, let's send it.
Just before we get started, I got to mention that we are sponsored by Albertsons Market, Constructors Inc., Fashion Eyeworks, Kaleidoscoops Ice Cream and More, and Bowen Insurance. All right, here we go. Austin, rapid fire, what's your favorite food?
Cheese curds.
Nice. Favorite artist?
Mac Miller.
Most unique item you own?
I don't really have any unique items. I'll say that.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Superstitions?
Knocking on wood.
Favorite candy?
Reese's.
Coolest event you've ever attended?
Country USA.
Favorite drink?
Coke.
TV show?
Office.
Your gear brand?
I'd say Nike.
Nike, okay. Glove you're using?
Rawlings.
Favorite restaurant?
Anywhere Pizza.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone, for sure.
And best in-game moment in your baseball career?
Sweeping Missouri.
Awesome, awesome, man. Very cool. Well, thank you for participating in the rapid fire, man. Before we go, I wanted to see if you would be willing to give any advice for young athletes who dream of getting drafted one day.
Yeah, so some advice I'd have for somebody who's, you know, looking to play college ball or even professionally is find, you know, that extra gear that you have, that, you know, everybody's going to work hard, but you're going to have to do something a little bit extra. You're going to have to find people who are going to sit you down and say, you know, like, look at yourself in the mirror and figure it out, because unfortunately there's a lot of people who want to play, you know, professional baseball and college baseball, and you have to stand out, you know, in those people and make somebody believe in you. And I'd say the one piece of advice is you always have to believe in yourself too. Obviously, if you don't believe in yourself, no, you're not going to convince somebody else to do that. So even if you have a bad game, you have a bad season, you have to sit down and kind of self-talk with yourself and realize that there's probably things that you need to be doing better instead of blaming it on somebody else.
Awesome. That's a very good point too, man. I appreciate the advice and I appreciate you being on the show. I wish you the very best of luck and I hope to see you on TV one day, very soon in the major leagues pitching for the Twins.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey guys, don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.